Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you will recognize these names. Faith Hill, Randy Travis, Linda Ronstadt, even Huey Lewis. Now, what did all those people have in common? Well, all of those people and many, many more owe their success, their entire success they owe to their voice coach, who is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Her name is Renee Grant Williams. You know her very well. She's the author of Voice Power, and she is the voice coach to the stars. And she's going to help. She's one of the things she does when she joins us on the show is she helps you and me to become stars by making sure that when we speak properly, and not just what comes out of our mouth, but how what comes out of our mouth sounds. And she's our good friend, Renee Grant Williams. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you. It's excellent to be back.
Well, I can see that. It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Renee?
Yes, indeed. Or a nightmare earlier this morning.
One of those things. Renee, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is an interesting use of a word that actually gets kind of a bad rap sometimes. In fact, I give it a bad rap often, and that's the word manipulation.
Manipulation. In fact, I would like to talk with your listeners this morning, Jim, about using manipulation creatively. I'm sure we've all been familiar with a couple of phrases. It's not what you say, it's how you say it, or you can say just about anything as long as you say it right.
See, my wife says that to me all the time. You know, she'll say, why did you say that to me? And I say, what do you mean? What did I say? She said, well, it wasn't what you said, it was how you said it. And I say, well, I didn't say it anyway. She said, yes, you did. You took a tone with me.
Took a tone.
And I say, I don't have a tone. She says, oh, yes, you do. Ask your children.
We all have a tone. And then, again, what does that really mean? Doesn't that all suggest that we can manipulate others into doing what we want, not necessarily by choosing different words, but by altering the way we say the words?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us don't pay a lot of attention to the way we deliver, like you must on occasion, when you take the wrong tone with Devana, with the way we deliver what we say. And so when we fail to get our message across, we assume it's because we said all the wrong words, when maybe it's because we've been saying the words all
wrong.
Well,
and see, here's the danger part. See, I don't think that I've taken a tone. It's her that thinks that I have, and so
you think she's listening with a tone.
Well, it doesn't, maybe so. But the thing is the point that I think you're making is part of what you tell us all the time is, you know, what you think is coming out might not be what the other person is hearing.
Exactly. This is one of the biggest problems in communication or in miscommunication. And I wonder how that word got such a pejorative reputation in the first place.
Well,
I
it's mean, because when it is a physical verb, meaning to manipulate people to do something, not just to manipulate our voice or whatever, it does have a bad rap. And I give it a bad rap myself because what I tell people, Renee, is that. If you try to manipulate your customers to beat your competition, that's wrong. You should not be trying to manipulate your customers. You should be serving your customers, getting them what they want, not trying to manipulate them to your own ends. And so when I use the word manipulate in those cases, it is a pejorative term. But that's not
Webster
what you that's
lists,
not the way you're talking about.
Webster lists its first definition as to manage or utilize skillfully.
Yeah.
And that we respond to the word manipulation as if it came with a warning label that cautions manipulation for evil purposes only.
Right. Don't do this and operate heavy equipment, right, or something like that.
Right. The kind of manipulation I'm talking about involves moving people toward common agreement and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in business, we better get good at this because our lives are all about manipulation. I mean, we attempt to manipulate others on a benign basis every day, and they manipulate us. How else did we ever come to agree on anything? If you want, you know, if you want any desired result, it may take a little or a lot of manipulation.
Right. Well, and especially in the 21st century, Renee, with as many different ways as we have to communicate with people.
Yes.
You know, we every year come up with a new way to communicate with people.
Whether but still, the most powerful is the secret hidden messages like that tone, Jim, you send to your wife.
Now, that's the tone that she says I send.
Right, that she hears, however it gets into the picture.
Right.
That tone has more to do with subtle nuances of communication than the words necessarily.
Mm-hmm. So how do we manipulate people in a positive way? How do we use the words that we say and the tones that we have? How do we do that to make sure that it turns out positive?
Well, our speaking voices are pretty much in charge of a lot of this manipulation. So we can do several things to help a couple of voice delivery techniques that can give you the biggest impact and the highest manipulation factor.
Yeah.
And one of that is something we've talked about before, the use of consonants and the use of silence. Because when we speak, they both work by interrupting the expected flow of words. Now think about that, the expected flow of words. As we speak, we tend to establish a consistent rhythmic pattern for the flow of our words. And our listener, whoever's listening to us, comes to expect that. When we break that pattern by inserting long consonants and abrupt pauses, when we want to draw attention to what is about to be said,
mm-hmm.
or to, inversely, to allow reflection on what has been said,
right.
then we interrupt the flow. And it draws people's attention.
It's like an exclamation point, isn't it?
It's an exclamation point, and it's like waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And somebody, and Renee, somebody, we're going to a break here. Somebody who does that better than anybody I've ever seen. I know you're thinking it's me, but it's not. I'm not the best.
I was thinking it was your wife.
Yeah. No, it's Ed McMahon. When
oh,
you
my
listen
goodness.
To Ed
yes,
McMahon
he
speak,
that.
he uses the pauses very, very effectively. So if you want to see somebody to emulate, he might be a good one. 20 after. We'll be right back with Renee Grant Williams. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I don't know anybody in my brain trust who's more likely to have met Jimi Hendrix than Renee Grant Williams. Renee, did you meet Jimmy?
Yes, I did.
I told you, folks, didn't I tell you? I didn't know that beforehand, but I said, you know what? I bet she's met Jimmy.
Yes, I did. In the green room at Fillmore West, I was in college and in music school at Music Conservatory, and I had a group called Baroque Power. And we played Fillmore West a couple of times, and I was
tell us where that is now.
Fillmore West is out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it's where all the
Haight-Ashbury
and the early San Francisco music got started. And I was a freshman in college and had this, what we thought was a very hip group because we played Baroque music, classical music with a lot of beat and a lot of percussion. Actually, it was pretty cool. And I was sitting with my back to the door, and suddenly the entire room fell silent.
Huh.
Everybody who was talking, and I turned around to see what people were, like, sitting there with their mouths open, gazing at, and there in the framed in the doorway perfectly was Jimi Hendrix. And he came in and, in about 5 minutes, sort of introduced himself. I wouldn't say introduced himself, but he came around and took sort of shook everybody's hand. And that was my one experience with Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. He died not too long afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. A great talent. Well, I suspected that you probably had had that experience. And as I said, folks, of the 400-plus members of our Brain Trust, I bet she's the only one. Renee, let's talk some more about manipulating our voice, to use our voice. And the what you're talking about is double use of the word manipulation. Manipulate our voice to influence or manipulate the people we're talking to a common agreement with us.
To a common agreement, because it's the best way. I mean, we manipulate in a benign fashion at all times. When I was writing my book, Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention, we often referred to it, as this real title is, Using Your Voice to Manipulate, Persuade, and Exercise Mind Control, was the joke around here. But we do that by creating pauses. And you mentioned Ed McMahon as an excellent example. Paul Harvey is my all-time great example. He had the ability to lengthen his consonants and create suspense, and he had the ability to bring us to a halt and hold our attention. And he could just do anything with our ears.
And he says vegetables funny, too.
And he says vegetables funny, too. So if you were...
Vegetables.
Because if I could give you an example. If you take a simple phrase, one that most of us can relate to, I want more money, I'd like to show you how easily we can adjust the meaning to set to match a certain situation.
All right.
Okay, the first example is, I want more money. Here, you're indicating that you are asking for more money, increased compensation. You're already receiving or have been offered compensation, but you simply don't feel it's enough. I want more money. Okay, another way to say that is, I want more money. And it could be that you've been offered another form of compensation, maybe stock options. Options, additional vacation time, but you don't care about these things. I want more money. Okay, now another way to say that is to lengthen the W. I want more money. Perhaps everybody knows that your rich uncle left you a fortune that you'd never have to work again if you didn't want to, and it could be argued that you didn't actually need more
but
money.
Here you're saying...
Your needs are not the issue. What is important is your want.
Some people probably would have a hard time. I mean, it sounds you're doing it for effect right now, but using it in conversation, I think some people might have a little. They might be put off by that a little bit. What do you think?
I don't think so.
I don't mean the recipient. I don't mean the person on the other side. I'm talking about the person saying it.
People have to practice this, Jim.
They do, don't they?
They have to practice it, and they have to listen with a tape recorder, and they are amazed when they do. They think they're being more dramatic in their speech. It's really about creating drama. And they'll lengthen consonants or give a silence, and they think they're doing it a lot, and it's just not as much as they think they are. So the best way is to, before you do this around clients, customers, or even your best friends, do it. Work on this yourself.
One of the things, Renee, that I've done that I like to do is when I used to talk to my customers, I used to say things like, "I want to help your company have the maximum opportunity to be successful."
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
And I'd roll that M out there.
You could even lengthen that more. Do that again. I want your company.
I want to help your company have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And it almost sounds like you're stuttering a little bit, but you're not.
Well, if you get there early, what you have to do is cut the word before it. I want your company to have the maximum amount of benefit.
Yeah.
You have to get there early. You can't
test this, folks. And let me tell you another way you can help yourself. Check out her book, Voice Power, Renee Grant Williams, wherever books are sold. Renee, give us your website, please.
www.myvoicecoach.com.
Thank you, Renee. See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Professor William Bygrave. Stay with us. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.